Hello, everyone, and welcome to Our Stories, lively and direct from the production studios at community radio station KHMB, 100.9 FM and 1710 AM. This podcast is a collection of news stories from CoastSideNews.com, publishers of the Half Moon Bay Review and the Pacifica Tribune. This podcast is a collaboration between the nonprofit Coastal Literary Arts Movement, Coastside News, and KHMB Radio. I'm David Gorn. Hey, thanks for joining us on Our Stories. We're trying to bring you all the news you need to know on the Coastside. So today, we're doing a fun story and a not fun story, but both have some twists and turns to explain. We're going to start today with the unfun story because it's an issue just about every Coastsider will want to know about. If you get hurt on the coast and you need to be seen immediately by a physician, your choices just got a lot smaller. The urgent care pilot program run by Dignity Health in Half Moon Bay is now over, leaving, well, zero places to go on the coast if you have a health emergency. So what happened to emergency rooms and urgent care clinics on the coast side? And what might be done about it? That's the story. And with me to hash it out is Ashton Hackey, reporter for CoastSideNews.com. Ashton, hi. I know this is a big topic. Can you explain to me what's happening?
Hey, David. Yeah, no problem. Yeah, so the Coastside is currently without an urgent care or emergency room program. I would say before we start, though, that Dignity Health didn't shut down services. They're still operating at the same Main Street location where the urgent care facility was, and they recently opened up a big block of same-day appointments.
Oh, so that's like an urgent care department, right? You have a medical problem. You get in the same day. That's a lot like urgent care.
Yeah, it's a lot like it, and they've been able to do some lab tests on site as well. So in that sense, it's still offering urgent care services. But the change is that you need to have health care coverage compatible with Dignity Health to avoid paying up front. Dignity said it will continue to accept most health care plans, but if you're a patient with out-of-network coverage or if you don't have insurance, you're required to pay out-of-pocket for services.
Oh, so the pilot program, I know they saw everyone, regardless of insurance status.
Right. That pilot program was a collaboration with the county, and that's the big change here. It was a 6-month trial program to improve urgent care services on the coast.
So I think everyone knows that urgent care is different from emergency services, but it's worth explaining so that I understand.
Yeah, sure. Urgent care and emergency services are actually two different things. Emergency rooms handle every emergency. Urgent care handles some of them. And a lot of people shy away from the ER because it can be so expensive.
Ah, so that's why the urgent care facility pilot was such a good idea, because people could go in for urgent concerns like strep throat, but still have to go over the hill for, like, I don't know, heart attacks or broken bones.
Exactly. It was also designed in part to fill the big healthcare gap left by the temporary closure of Seton Medical Center Coastside, which stopped its emergency services back in April of last year.
Well, tell me what happened with Seton Coastside. That's the one in Moss Beach. I know some of the older people on the coast still call it St. Catharines.
That's what it was called in the 1980s. Then Seton took it over in 1993.
So Seton is an emergency hospital?
Well, it's primarily a skilled nursing facility for long-term care that also has emergency services. It's one of those places people can go and they need around-the-clock care. And skilled nursing facilities are required by state to have some emergency services because their patients can be so fragile.
Oh, so it makes sense to offer those emergency services to the rest of the Coastside as sort of a side business in a way, I guess. So what happened to Seton Coastside's emergency room? You said it was a temporary closure?
Yeah, so the short answer is storm damage. Emergency services there have been closed for more than a year now, allegedly due to damage from the big storm in 2023. And it was supposed to open in the spring of this year.
But isn't it summer now?
Well, I recently tried to get an answer from Seton to see what it meant by late spring, but Seton did not provide a comment.
Okay, so before you go on, I did catch a whiff of something in what you just said. You said allegedly due to storm damage.
They didn't close the facility until a year after the storm. County Supervisor Ray Mueller pointed out the facility received green tags after the storm, meaning it was safe to use. Mueller called it fraudulent to blame the storm damage for the closure.
So do we know if they will reopen emergency services to the Coastside?
All we really know is back in March, representatives from Seton Coastside told the Half Moon Bay City Council that they were aiming for a late spring reopening and said that the building's interior was 80 to 90% renovated from that storm damage. They said that the facility would reopen its emergency and skilled nursing services, including 116 beds in the skilled nursing facility, 5 general acute care beds, and 8 emergency room bays.
So is that why the pilot program ended? Because Everyone's expecting Seat and CoSight to now provide emergency services?
Well, not exactly. They're two different things. The scene closure was just one of the reasons to launch the pilot. The pilot was designed to be temporary, and now it's over.
So, for right now, there is no emergency service on the CoSight, and there is no urgent care clinic.
You can still get those same-day appointments available for Dignity Health patients, but yes, if you have a health crisis, you're going over the hill or going to Daly City.
Which is a long way to go if you're in the middle of a health crisis, particularly if you don't have someone to drive you. But even if you do have someone driving you, that's still kind of scary, like driving a half an hour or more with a really bad health condition.
And according to the state of California, not offering emergency services at Seat and CoSight might also be illegal.
Oh, really? Explain that one, please.
California State Attorney General Rob Bonta filed a lawsuit the last fall against Seat and CoSight for failing to meet the service obligations outlined in its purchase agreement.
Service obligations. Those are primarily emergency services.
Yes.
So that's a lot of different fronts. Can you take me through them all? What happens next?
So Seat and CoSight is expected to open soon, but we don't know for sure when that will happen. The state is applying pressure, partially through this lawsuit, but the agreement with the state runs out next year, so we don't know what that will look like long term.
Okay. And urgent care?
Low-severity urgent care services are being offered by Dignity, as we talked about before, but there's no plan by the county right now to reopen an urgent care clinic.
Wow. Are there any other possibilities out there?
During health care reforms and city council meetings, an idea was floated by former city council member Harvey Rarback that maybe Seat and CoSight could provide urgent care services through its facility, but that's still in discussion. No action.
Well, if they could open an urgent care clinic at Seton, maybe they could rename it St. Catherine's.
That would be full circle.
Hey, Ashton, thanks for coming in and explaining all that to me.
My pleasure.
Doctor, give me the news. I got a
So we're going to pivot here and take a different tack.
We're going to go out to the training ground for a Pescadero kid participating in an international horse competition. With us is Emma Spaeth, publisher of CoSight News, who researched and wrote this story for the CoSight magazine, who tells me this is a different kind of horse competition.
Hi, David.
Hey, so this story sounded really cool. Tell me where you went and what you saw.
Yeah, I went up to a training ring in Woodside, and there I met Larry Markegaard. He just graduated from Pescadero High, and he spends his evenings and weekends training on horseback.
But it's not just any kind of horse riding.
They call it equestrian vaulting, and it's basically a mix of gymnastics and dance on the back of a horse while it's cantering around the ring.
Oh, I've seen that. It looks really difficult. It's like doing ballet moves on a balance beam, only the beam is running really fast and moving up and down.
Yeah, exactly. And actually, that's only part of the challenge. Most of the training happens off the horse, and since competitions happen all across the country and around the world, the vaulters are constantly having to borrow horses and adapt to them before competing. But Markegaard's really good at it, and right now he is in training for the competition of his life.
Ooh, tell me.
It's the Junior World Vaulting Championships. This year, it's being held in July in northern Austria.
Okay, so what do you have to do to be good at it?
So there's definitely a lot of physicality involved, but also balance and grace. Judges give points for technique, artistic performance, and even for the horse itself. About a quarter of the score comes from how well the horse moves and behaves during the routine.
Well, I guess that makes sense. You need the horse to move really smoothly and predictably, right?
Yeah. And so Markegaard's coach is a guy named Jace Brooks, and he said something funny at practice the other day about how this is such an unusual sport because you're working with a partner who not only weighs 1,200 pounds, but also has a lot of opinions of its own. So you've really got to keep that in mind during training.
That's hilarious. Every horse I know has opinions. So tell me about Larry Markegaard. What makes him good at this?
Well, practice, definitely. He's out there pretty much every day, either on the horse or on the practice barrel. He grew up around horses, but has spent nearly a decade practicing equestrian vaulting specifically. He said he likes how all the different elements of it come together. The physical side of it, the grace and agility in the performance, working with the horses.
So what does his coach say about him?
Brooks said a lot of vaulters come from a background in gymnastics, which Markegaard doesn't, and he's definitely bigger than most vaulters, but Brooks said he makes up for it with what he calls softness and elegance in his performance. Hmm. And Brooks said Markegaard is unfailingly cheerful and persistent. If he ever falls, he gets up laughing and gets right back on.
So now Markegaard made the U.S. team. He's going to the World Championships next month, and he's a teenager from the small town of Pescadero. What does he think about what's about to happen?
Honestly, Markegaard calls it the experience of a lifetime. He said it's not just about the scores or the medals, but just the experience itself. He said what he loves is going to new places, making connections with vaulters from all over the world. He spent a lot of time traveling around the country and the world for competitions, so this one's a really long time coming for him.
And you were telling me Markegaard isn't the only local to excel at the sport.
No. So Jace, his coach, lives in Half Moon Bay and also competes internationally. He actually just left for a competition in Aachen, Germany, where he will compete before coming home and then turning right back around with Markegaard to go to the Junior Worlds. Markegaard also credits his first coach, Kimmy Palmer, for getting him into the sport. She lives in Half Moon Bay, too, and is one of the best vaulters in the country. Right now, she's competing in the Czech Republic, and earlier this year, she finished fifth in the World Cup final in Switzerland.
Wow. So how can we track how these three are doing? And I guess in particular, how can we track how Markegaard does next month at the Junior World Championships in Austria?
You can check out results online at inside.fei.org.
Inside.fei.org. Okay. Well, that's pretty fun. I will definitely be paying attention and following. That's so cool. Thanks, Emma.
Thanks for having me, David.
Nice. I have a couple of thank yous. First of all, big thanks to Coastside Chamber's podcast room and their Opportunity Center. Thanks, of course, to reporter Ashton Hackey and editors Peter Tukofsky and Emma Spaeth of CoastsideNews.com. Thanks also to KHMB Radio, station manager Jim Henderson, and engineer Jay Michaels. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. I'm David Gorn. And we're excited to do this again in 2 weeks, Wednesday at 6 p.m. on KHMB Radio and through Spotify and other apps. Adios.